ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, I still love you even though you're wrong. And the standing between the living and the dead prayer, devotional, memorial service, family members, I thank God for all of you, for you have been with me, many of you, now going on 500 days. And you have made one of the longest, for some of you, the most convicting prayer meetings, devotional meetings, memorial meetings, and for some of you, long and boring service podcasts, one of our top podcasts. I don't know how you listen. I don't know what time of the day you listen, if it's in the morning. I'm sure that some of you listen on the way to work and on the way back. I am sure some of you, once you get home and you get your kick around clothes on, you sit back in your easy chair and listen. Some of you wait till nighttime and let me talk you to sleep or bore you to sleep. And I say that kiddingly. These services have never been boring. But they are, for people who are mostly fleshly, they can be hard to take, to say the least. Because we deal from the time we begin until we end, we deal with issues that oftentimes people do not want to deal with. Yes, even so-called Christians. Most Christians don't want to pray. Most Christians don't want to read the Bible. Just straight read the Bible. You got to be saved and born again. That's why I thank God for the standing between the living and the dead crowd, family. Because I know you're saved. You got to be saved to sit through Bible reading and then two or three different Bible study type things, and then deal with the in the radical way that I deal with the family. Is not radical, but it's radical compared to what pastors are saying today, and most of them are wrong, and their families are jacked up. And I thank God for the few pastors who are correcting this foolishness in the home today. Again, such foolishness, like someone wrote a book, and this is not the first time. Every year somebody comes out with this foolishness. Everybody fights in their marriage and family. Why don't you learn how to fight better and fight smarter and fight more wonderfully? That is so stupid. And there's no better word for that kind of foolishness. You're not going to go on your job and fight with your supervisor, are you? No, you're not, because you want to keep your job and you want to stay in favor with that supervisor. You're going to submit to that supervisor is what you're going to do. Same thing in a classroom. You're not going to go and fight with the teacher who's responsible for giving you a grade. But you want to fight in your marriage. There's no such thing. So don't let me get started on that. Don't buy into this sweet little evangelical foolishness, people. They have, the evangelicals have misguided the church and the country to, I believe, to be the worst church in the history of the church. I really believe that. And we have some modern day Pharisees and Sadducees and gatekeepers who have led the church into the ditch, the blind leading the blind, and have led the country to destruction. I believe that with all of my heart. And I've been on, if you will, both sides of the fence. I've been connected to all denominations in some way. I graduated from an independent Baptist college. I then graduated from a Methodist Wesleyan college. I then graduated with from an independent / Southern Baptist college, a seminary. And as an evangelist, I've been preaching in all kinds of churches. And so I know what I'm saying is true, and it's sad. Thank God for such people as Dr. Tony Evans, who's trying to correct the foolishness in the evangelical church, the Southern Baptist Church, Bible churches, who have gotten away from the Word of God. In his old age, he has been trying to help these people for years, but they never listened to him. But he's still trying, so that's good. Anyway, my beloved, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 241, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version. I do have some brethren who call it the King James Bible, but that's another subject. Each day with my family in chronological order, this unique viewpoint allows us to read the entire Bible as a single true story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Joshua with great interest, Joshua chapter 9. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray. In the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let your will indeed be done, and not ours. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at your right hand interceding for us, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by your power and your might, who said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Holy Father God, for those of us who are truly saved and born again, thank you for saving our souls. Give us your strength and your energy, your might, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word for our own good and for the good of others. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts in a special way. From your Holy Word, once again today, save that soul that is nearest hell. For your gospel is in every part of your Holy Word, from Genesis to Revelation. And like the great Matthew Henry has done, Lord, help us to always make a beeline to Jesus Christ in the cross from wherever we are in your Holy Word. And we pray that you would crush and crucify every evil part of us and fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit, and help us to join to the reading of your Holy Word, praying without ceasing. For your glory, praise, and honor, and for the lifting up of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, your Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray, and for his sake, amen. I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, my dear friends, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, at Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills, and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed, and came unto their cities on the 3rd day. Now their cities were Gibeon, and Shepherah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them, we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all of the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you, and have done this thing. Pardon me. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, in the place which he should choose. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, help us to learn the lesson. No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how sure we think we are, help us to always consult you and acknowledge you in all of our ways, for we know that you will direct our paths. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, memorial, service family members. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 867, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it, the understanding of it, based on an authoritative, based upon the power of the Holy Spirit, and then an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary, pardon me, edited by Dr. Walvert and Dr. Zuck of Dallas Theological Seminary, and the Matthew Henry Commentary, or some other great reputable commentary, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown come to mind of days gone by, and or a great study Bible. This podcast, my beloved, is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my prayer that the church would be revived and the world would be awakened. Today, beloved, we're reading Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. Fill us with your energy, your strength, and your might, Lord, to in the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, to read your Holy Word, to study your Holy Word, to understand your Holy Word, to share it with others, and to do everything else we need to do today. We cannot do it without you. We must acknowledge you in all of our ways, as we just learned from reading Joshua chapter 9. I believe, and Lord, I pray that you'll help everybody here to pray without ceasing and acknowledge you in all of our ways, because we know that you will direct our paths and help us to do your will and not ours. Help us to be a shining light and witness for you. And Lord, help us to read your Holy Word in such a way and get understanding from it, so that we can be in a position to teach others in a discipleship way and to proclaim and preach your Holy Gospel to a dying and lost world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. Dear friends, that was Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1. Now here is the sense of it. Here is the understanding with the help of the Holy Ghost of God and the Matthew Henry commentary, which we do believe that Matthew Henry, being a believer in Jesus Christ, was just as filled with God's Holy Spirit as we are. We must understand that God has His calling for everybody. And instead of trying to be original, which is being taught in seminaries across this country about and everything, God has already spoken to the hearts of theologians down through the years to make things plain for those of us, for example, who are called to be prophets and evangelists and not teachers. We need to tap into that. And then pastors and teachers need to tap into doing the work of an evangelist and learning how to do that from evangelists who are gifted at doing it and so forth. But be that as it may, here are judgments foretold on several nations. While the Macedonians and Alexander's successors were in warfare in these countries, the Lord promised to protect His people. God's house lies in the midst of an enemy's country. His church is as a lily among thorns. God's power and goodness are seen in her special preservation. The Lord encamps about His church. And while armies of proud opposers shall pass by and return, His eyes watch over her so that they cannot prevail. And shortly the time will come when no exactor shall pass by her anymore. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for Your holy word. And Lord, have it to sink deeply into our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits, and help us, Lord, to understand it and apply it to our lives and share it with others and proclaim Your gospel to the lost by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, devotional, and memorial service, we continue with reading what I call and what I have dubbed, I've never heard anybody else call it this, the family verses. And see, this is one of the reasons why I know people who listen to this podcast regularly, they have got to be saved, and they are very interested in being obedient to the Lord. Because people don't want to hear this today. This is not popular. Dr. Oliver B. Green preached a sermon one time titled Unpopular Preachers. I am in that number, and I am happy to be in that number. Jesus pointed out that if you're popular in the world, you probably are not doing what He has commanded you to do. Verse 25, God is speaking to husbands. We know that the Bible is the Word of God because there are things that we as sinful human beings would not have included. This whole passage to the wife and to the husband probably would have never been written if it was up to us. And see, God deals with everybody because He has the authority to do so. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And let me remind you, the love that is in this passage that God is talking about is His love, unconditional, agape love. That's the love you build your marriage on. You cannot possibly build your marriage on sexual love, or what they call eros love, or just even family love. It's got to be the God kind of love. Now, most women are not interested in the God kind of love. So, you know, that's just the way it is. But that's what it has to be. Otherwise, it's not going to be anything. Why? Well, we have, I think, a worse divorce rate in the church. Why is that? If it was just romantic love, Romeo and Juliet love, sexual love, Eros love, everything was fine for a while, what happened? Your little warm and cuddly feelings? What happened to all that? And that's you now in the divorce court. Able to have all of the sex you want to have and do all of the romantic things you want to do while you're not doing them. You know why? Because you're acting like children, juveniles, and not understanding that love is a choice. At some point, love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. At some point in your marriage, you got to get to the point where you understand that the God kind of love chooses to love people who are unlovable, just like God loves us, and we're all unlovable, wicked, evil, ungodly sinners. But for God so loved the world. That's not necessarily an emotional, your wonderful, perfect objects of love. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. For God so loved the world, that's a choice that God made. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the kind of love you better have in your heart, husband, towards your wife. Or you won't have any love at all. And that's what's wrong with you right now. That's why you don't want to be around her. You have found out her breath stinks in the morning. You have found out if she goes a day without showering, she stinks. You found out that she has a nasty attitude half of the month. And acts like the devil half of the month, which is 6 months out of the year, which, in the words of James, these things ought not so to be, however they are. You've seen her phoniness and her hypocrisy, how she changes around certain people, and then she changes back to witch mode at the house. All of the wonderful meals she cooked for you before you got married, she does not cook anymore. She does not cook the chicken cacciatore anymore. And you have seen her burn food because she is mad. And so forth. Okay, so the thrill is gone. So where's the love coming from? It's got to come from God, my dear friend. The God kind of love. You got to be saved to be married and stay married. Let me put it that way. You have to be saved for real to stay married. Anybody can get married, obviously. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Whether you like it or not, preacher. Now, this is talking about Christ and God helping his bride, the church, be what it should be. But as a husband, you're never going to have a good wife if you don't help her to be good by praying with her and reading the Bible with her and teaching her the Bible. That's right. You're her pastor. She can say so-and-so is her pastor all she wants to. You're her pastor. She needs to learn from you at home. You're the pastor of the church at home. Your children ought to hear you pray and read the Bible and teach them the Bible as well. And you may never have a good wife. You may never have a virtuous wife. Most men don't have a virtuous wife, if not 100% of men don't have a virtuous wife. This is why Solomon said, "I find more bitter than death the woman." That does not sound virtuous. And that's why he said, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And what the sweet evangelical church, they have made all women virtuous and innocent and pure and wonderful. And some of them are liars and whores and rebellious and full of witchcraft. But yet we always want to, in the sweet evangelical church, put them, no matter what they do, put them on a pedestal. They're always the victim. They're always innocent. The man is the big bad wolf. And I would venture to say that is not the case in most marriages. That the man is doing all he can to make the marriage work and the family work. But the church is against them. Pastors and pastors' wives are against them. The government is against them. And he's supposed to be the big bad wolf. He does nothing right. He does nothing good. And now we got so-called sweet evangelical organizations trying to help men be men, which is a sad case. But to you real men out there who know how to handle a woman and how to deal with a woman, you know that you have some work to do to help her be every day what she should be. And if you don't hold her in check and hold her accountable, she's going to make a mess of things in most cases. And you need to be a man to her and check her and correct her when she's wrong. And that is love too. It's the God kind of love, agape love. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You don't even love yourself that much to let yourself just do whatever you want to do. I loved myself this morning. And I got up early, prayed fully, drunk my shake that I don't like to make, and don't really like the green shake, and I really don't like to drink that much. Those are loving things I did for myself this morning that I don't love doing. You understand? After I drunk the shake, after I prayed and had the shake, I went and exercised, which I hate doing, but I love myself, so I feel better. I believe my life has lasted longer because I have exercised down through the years. I love keeping the blood flowing through my veins. I feel the difference. I don't love exercising, but I love myself. So sometimes we love ourselves but we don't love what we have to do to keep ourselves in check. Same thing goes for your wife. You love her, and so you want the best for her, but you understand that the best for her is obedience to God and to His word and to you. Love this sweet little evangelical, sweet little Baptist, sweet little charismatic love today, where the wife can do no wrong. You never rebuke your wife. You never say anything negative to your wife. You lie to your wife and tell her that she looks good when she does not. You lie to your wife. You're told by older, dumb acting men, just tell her she looks great in that dress. Just lie to her. Tell her that she looks great in that hairstyle. Just go ahead on and lie real good, just to keep the peace. And you're not helping her at all. In fact, I would venture to say, and this goes both ways, most women don't know what looks good on them. They be thinking they're looking good and from their own eyes. I saw a woman, a very intelligent woman, the other day. In fact, she has a PhD or something, where she can, in a bona fide fashion, call herself a doctor. I don't know where she got the hairstyle from. It looked like she got the hairstyle from Mars or Jupiter someplace. It was like a Jetsons type hairstyle. You remember how Mrs. Jetson had her hair? Well, she had her hair, and she's a black lady, so her hair was just hanging on one side of her face, you know, head. And it was ridiculous. I never seen anything like it, to me. And I guarantee you, her husband did not tell her the truth, not to go out the house with that on. And then we got fat women who want to wear leather pants. Where's the husband at to tell her, honey, you don't look good in leather pants? Here's what you look good in. I believe with all of my heart, more women need their husbands to tell them what looks good on them. Some women look better in a nice suit. They look 100% better instead of wearing a dress. They just don't fill out the dress properly. Fat women should not have any pants in their closet whatsoever, period. None. Red, yellow, blue, white, none, zero, Zippo. They need to have a nice flowing dress on. On the other hand, to be positive, I saw some women the other day, and I thank God for these women. I don't know if they heard me preach or not on the subject. But they were dressed in beautiful, free-flowing long dresses. And they looked beautiful. And they had themselves covered up for their husband's eyes only. And let me help some of you women. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you, because your husband's not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. One of the reasons why wearing modest dress, particularly with women in America, because we eat so much. One of the reasons why you ought to be modest in your dress, is because many of you don't have the shape that is attractive, period. Some of you are just too skinny. You don't need to be revealing anything. You don't need to. You have nothing to reveal. I hate to tell you this. I love you. I'm not mad at you, but you don't have anything to reveal. So don't wear revealing clothing thinking you look good when you don't. And you're looking like olive oil. Whatever her name is, I forget her name in Popeyes. I think they call her olive oil or something. You look like olive oil. You look like a stick. Don't wear stuff that is revealing. You have nothing to reveal. You don't look good in it. Your sweet little evangelical husband is not going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you. You need to cover all that up in a nice business suit where folks can't tell what you got. See, that's one of the reasons why you need to wear modest dress, modest clothing, rather. Only your husband needs to know what you have. Everybody else in the world don't know what you have. And men are going to look at you. And they look for two reasons. One, to see if you have anything to look at. And number two, to see if you don't. And once they see you don't, they dismiss you. And many, and listen to me very carefully, some of you folks on Weight Watchers, some of you are on this or that, and you need to be on the NF diet, the NFW diet, no food whatsoever for a while. And I'm talking to church folks especially. Some of the biggest hippopotamuses and I know some of you are mad as you're mad as fire right now at me, but I'm trying to help you because it's just ridiculous how fat we are in the church. It's ridiculous. You need to push away from the table and go do some push-ups. As they say, some of you are on the seafood diet. You see food and you eat it. Some people are big as elephants. I don't care if you like it or not. I don't care. And see, right now you think I'm talking, I can't see you. But you know who you are. And I'm sure that one of the reasons why God shut down the church, we got these big old hippopotamuses and elephants up there dancing in church, in front of everybody. The dance team weighs a ton. And I don't know if we should be doing that in the first place. The miming team, they weigh a ton. The poor stages, have mercy upon the poor stages. It's ridiculous. Thank God, through this plague, some folks have lost some weight. And that's good. Some have gained. And if you husbands, if you love your wives, you need to tell them. You need to start shopping and make sure there's no cheesecake in the refrigerator. Make sure there's no ice cream. For her to sit on her fat behind and eat cheesecake and ice cream all day while you working. Then get mad at you because you don't want to touch her. Touch what? What? Touch what? No man is going to be attracted to that. A woman too skinny or a woman too fat. That's all there is to it, women. And I love you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Your husband's not going to tell you because he don't want to get you all riled up. He wants to keep the peace. I don't care about the peace because there's no peace. There's no real peace. If I want to tell you something, I can't tell you that because you're going to get mad at me. That's not peace. That's bondage. That's your controlling the husband. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And yes, we do need more men seeing the beautiful women, the fine, fat women out there in the world and leaving their mama and their daddy and going to get one. And nothing can get a young man out of the house quicker than a PHAT woman. And that's how it ought to be. And the woman ought to be attracted to the man. No man should be attracted to another man. No woman should be attracted to another woman. That comes straight from the devil and hell. All right. Let me leave you people alone now. And let's pray together for others in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead. Prayer, devotional, and memorial service. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray for the salvation of the lost in our families, in our churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the revival of the saints. In our families, in the churches, in this country and around the globe, we pray for the healing of the sick according to your will, your way, and your conditions. Lord, have your way and let your will be done in all of our families, in the churches and in the country and around the globe. And we pray also for the comfort of the grieving and the mourning over dead loved ones from the coronavirus plague and other reasons. Comfort them as only you can. Draw them to yourself for salvation. And Lord, we pray for some families specifically, but we pray for the millions of families who are hurting. Today, we pray for the family and friends of Brazilian student Adriana Madori Takara. We pray for the family and friends of Arizona mother Fernanda Vega. We pray for the family and friends of Arkansas student Jordan Senor. And we pray for the family and friends of North Carolina police officer Alexander Reginald Petaway Jr. We pray for the family and friends of Nebraska resident Sharon Cochran. Comfort these people as only you can. Be with them as only you can, for this is beyond us. And Holy Father God, we pray now for all people who name the name of Christ. Help us all to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Lord, we pray also for everybody in government, from the President of the United States on down across this country and around the globe, everybody who is in the ministry of government. We pray for their salvation. We pray that you would save their souls, fill them with your Holy Spirit, cast the devil and the demons of hell out of them, and lead their respective areas of government according to your will and your holy word, that we may lead and have peaceful and quiet lives. But let your will be done at this point. For Lord, we deserve to be destroyed, every last one of us, because you have been very good to us, and we are only here because of your mercy and grace. Let your will be done. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Even now, CNN acknowledges that it is the most important city in the world. And that is amazing. That a modern news agency has done a special pointing out how special Jerusalem is and how it is the most important, most storied, most coveted city in the world, because it is your holy city. And Lord God in heaven, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for all Christians who are being persecuted in Nigeria and around the world. Comfort them and protect them and provide for them and deliver them as you see fit. Prepare them for their trials. trying hours and even their dying hours. And now, Lord, we pray for some prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the thousands who have sent in prayer requests that we have prayed for by name repeatedly. And we thank you for the privilege to do that. And we thank you that many of them come back every time they have a need from you, because they somehow know that you are hearing our prayers and you're answering our prayers for them. And it is a great privilege to pray for others. And Lord, we thank you for it. And we also pray now, Lord, that you would hear and answer their prayers and hear and answer our prayers for them. We pray for Virginia in Barbados, for her nephew, for Card to be released from prison, for her husband to stay employed, for her to become debt free. We pray for Kanisha in Wisconsin. Bless her as a single mother. Provide for her and her children. Give her the right kind of job that pays well. Lead her to do to a good church home. We pray for John and Scovia in Uganda. We pray that you'll provide them the money to pay for their house. Blessings and provision for the church ministry. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through the church, through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry and through this pulpit around the world. We pray not only for the few that we're going to name today, but for the thousands who have made a profession of faith in you. Help them all to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for James, Clems, Samson, Aditha, and Gamba. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you through the preaching of the gospel and through this ministry. We pray for the thousands who have gotten saved, the thousands who have rededicated their lives to you, but we pray for a few by name here today. We pray for Nancy, Lady, Debbie, Sarah, and Colvin. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, that means that if you are in this world, God loves you. That he gave his only begotten Son, God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins, however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever believeth in him, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish, that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And help me to truly repent of my sins past. And to truly repent of my sins present. And to turn from my evil life. And to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life. And that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on. I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.